Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Perhaps only topped by the New York Knicks. Now, this came through, I think it was Filthy McNasty that mentioned it. Here he is. D'Lo, did you see what Dawn Staley said about the Knicks job? I did. For those that didn't hear, Dawn told, can't remember the name of the podcast, but it's the one that Candace Parker hosts. She told them that she met with the New York Knicks and that she would have taken the job if she was offered it. One, no one is more excited to tell you about a job that they interviewed for and didn't get than Dawn Staley. No one. And it's such a slap in the face to the university that she actually works for that she can't stop mentioning it. Other college coaches, women, men, have been interviewed for NBA jobs. Most of them don't repeatedly go on podcasts to talk about it. Remember, she was also interviewed whenever Chauncey got the job. She was interviewed for the Portland Trailblazers job. I know this. This isn't inside information. I know Dawn Staley interviewed for that job because Dawn Staley couldn't wait to tell us that she interviewed for the Portland Trailblazers job. What was really funny about the podcast yesterday was not only the fact that she said, oh, I would have taken it, again, a huge slap in the face to South Carolina, but like, cool. But, okay, hold on, one thing. Now, I've had these conversations. Casey, I know the joke is, like, he loves Dawn Staley. I've had these conversations privately with Casey, so he knows how I feel. So this isn't like me trying to be funny because Kenny's not here. Dawn said she would have taken the job for herself. She was like, yeah, I want to do it for me, but I also want to do it for women. Obviously, she'd be the first women's head coach in the NBA. I cannot stress this enough. Dawn Staley, I'm positive, would have taken the New York Knicks job, but she would have taken it for her. She would have taken it for her. And no one else. Dawn is not this big woman's empowerment thing that she claims to be. She's not. She's not anything close to that. She wouldn't have taken that job as the New York Knicks head coach as this great step for women in America and women in professional sports. She would have taken it so Dawn Staley would have been the head coach of the New York Knicks. And that is the only reason she would have taken it. She can spew all of this BS and most people won't call her on it because the ones that do are either labeled as sexist or racist. When the fact is, Dawn is just full of herself. Always has been. So this idea that I take the job for women is laughable. She would have taken the job for Dawn. By the way, nothing wrong with that. Dawn Staley, a phenomenal head coach. Could she coach the New York Knicks? I have no idea. I don't know if Dawn can coach the New York Knicks. I don't know if Mike can coach the New York Knicks. I don't know what the Knicks are looking for. They went to the Eastern Conference Finals and the coach lost their job. I don't know who can coach Phil Jackson. I don't know who can coach that team. What the weight that coach is carrying is crazy right now. Could Dawn have done it? Maybe. I mean, the better you get as a head coach in college sports, the more pressure that comes upon you. Like, Dawn has built a dynasty at South Carolina. South Carolina is now a special place in women's college basketball. That means the weight she carries gets greater. Dawn fails now. South Carolina fails now. It's a story. It's a huge story if South Carolina is not good. Now Dawn has put pressure on herself. I should say Dawn has put even more pressure on herself, because if she fails, if her team falls short, there could be a multitude of reasons why her team falls short. But that's not how the game works. They'll say, she's distracted. She wants to go to the NBA. Whether that's fair to her or not, that's the distraction she helped create by telling people she would have taken the New York Knicks job. The Knicks are different than the Blazers. I wondered if this would have happened 4 years ago. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I thought the Blazers interview was a sham. I don't think the Knicks one was. I think they were considering her as the head coach. I don't feel like the Blazers were. I think you have these teams who love to put out, oh, we interviewed Becky Hammon. We interviewed Jenny Busick. We interviewed Dawn Staley. We interviewed Teresa Witherspoon. They love saying that. I knew this was all phony when Shams tweeted, I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was something like Becky Hammon has interviewed for the second time with the Spurs or whoever it was, or it was obviously wasn't the Spurs, but Becky Hammon had interviewed for a second time with whatever team. She's now made it further than any woman before her. It's like, oh, this is all a work. This league isn't hiring a woman. Not anytime soon. Becky was on the most successful franchise, one of the most successful franchises in the NBA. The reason she took that Aces job, I believe, is because she was told she's not getting that Spurs job. I don't think Jenny would get the Pacers job if Rick Carlisle walked away. So you're going to have to get, it's going to have to be a name. And right now, Dawn is a name. A massive name. So I put a lot more weight on this interview than the one that she had 3 years ago. So if her South Carolina team doesn't perform, again, could be injuries, could be transfers, could be a bad stretch. It'll get traced back to, is Dawn Staley's head still in the game in South Carolina? Does Dawn Staley have eyes on the NBA? And it's going to be a lot easier for Dawn to get a job in the NBA if she wants one while she's a successful coach at South Carolina than if something goes south, South Carolina lets her go and she has to go looking for a job. But I don't think South Carolina is going to do that, no matter how much they struggle, because, again, she has built South Carolina into something special. You can make a fair argument she's done with South Carolina what Gina was done with UConn, with what Pat did with Tennessee. Dawn is doing the exact same thing with South Carolina. She can survive lean years. But Gino didn't talk about going to the NBA. Pat didn't. People talked about Pat going to the NBA, but she didn't. Dawn has. And now there's not only pressure on Dawn, more pressure on Dawn. There's more pressure on her athletes as well. 916-909-1320, Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. Drew Down, what up, boy?
D-Lo, what's good, baby?
Everything.
Yeah, the chatty house was calling for me like it's 2 a.m. on a Friday, so I thought I'd tap in with y'all. I know I'm a little late, but I just wanted to, you know, touch on the DAC, you know, Micah, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I know you were saying that, you know, the mistake was paying CeeDee that contract, but in my opinion, I don't think so. I think the biggest mistake the Cowboys made was giving Dak that $60
million. 60.
He was on the last year of his deal, you know, and I was looking up the stats from last year. Him and Cooper Rush's stats were damn near identical, and I'm not going to sit here and say Cooper Rush, you know, is the same quarterback Dak is, but I think the mistake the Cowboys made was giving Dak that $60 million. They should have looked to move on from him, used last year, you know, as kind of a transition year, you know, maybe pay somebody a little bit lower tier, you know, 30, 40 million. They could have picked up Derek. They said they didn't have any money. I think they would have been much better off picking up maybe a stopgap quarterback and an elite running back like Derek Henry to run behind that line that they invest so many first round picks in. So I think, you know, Michael's expensive, and I don't, you know, time will tell if you know, if he'll live up to that contract. But I think where the Cowboys went wrong, and they've been going wrong for 30 years, but was giving Dak that $60 million, because with him, CD, and if they paid Micah, I ran the numbers, that's like almost 50% of the cap. And yeah. I don't think you're going to be able to put, you know, a championship-level team on the field when you're paying three guys, you know, almost 50% of the cap. So I think Dak's contract was a mistake, and until they move on from him, I don't think that they're, you know, be able to put a championship, you know, team on the field. But that's just my two cents. Appreciate you taking the call. Thanks, D-Lo.
Yes, sir. Always appreciate you, Drew Down. Thank you, brother. I mean, hindsight is easy. Like, yeah, they shouldn't have paid Dak, but they did. And do you compound, and I guess this is the question, do you compound the mistake of paying Dak that dollar figure, that $60 million per year dollar figure, by paying Micah Parsons? Or do you compound the mistake of paying Dak Prescott that $60 million and trading Micah Parsons? I don't know what scenarios this the real scenario. And I'm looking at Dak's stats. His career is kind of crazy. We'll talk about that. I'm sure Eddie Gonzalez will be thrilled to laugh at the Dallas Cowboys a little bit. Plus, we'll talk about some of the subjects that we just did. Matt Ishbia, Dawn Staley, and a variety of other things. It's Friday Vibes with our man Eddie Gonzalez next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, man, Eddie Gonzalez with us. We was talking about birthdays and getting older during the commercial break, man. Eddie approaching 40, getting in the best shape of his life.
Oh, man, I didn't know he was going to say that out loud on the show.
Yeah, man, hey, be proud of that. Be proud of that. Hey, one, be proud of that for two reasons. One, we made it. And right. And two, hey, man, every time I open Instagram, there's Slim Eddie getting...
I'm definitely going through some type of midlife crisis or something, because I decided to get in shape for some reason, and then I started saying crazy stuff like, "Man, I'm gonna run a 5K on."
There you go.
I'm gonna try to run a marathon. So yeah, maybe it's something, man. I'm blessed though. I'm
man,
trying to enjoy it.
You're in the place to run a marathon. I've run two of those, man, and it is quite the experience there in New York.
Do you got the sticker on your car?
Nah,
are you that guy?
Nah, bro.
I would wave the flag. Like, if and whenever I do run a marathon, shout out my dog Pilo. Y'all know Pilo, rapper.
Oh, yeah.
He just ran his first marathon. His manager, Khaled, he's run two now.
Word.
And I just love seeing that. I love seeing people get active and just try new stuff. You know what I mean? Because when me and Pilo was in Vegas a couple years ago, it was no talks of marathons happening. So I know some growth has occurred, so I'm happy for him.
I think I've done six, and my last one was my second New York, and I don't have, you know, the sticker on the car, but I do have one of those shadow boxes with the bibs and all of the medals that I got through some of the different races I had.
I love that. See, I feel like mentally I could do it. Like, I'm not there physically yet. And just kind of like, you know, the stamina of it. But I keep thinking about like the cathartic feeling of crossing that finish line.
Yeah.
Like, that must.
Yeah. So. The funny thing about the physical part is it's not just the actual running, like your legs. It's like once you get north of 20, and really, I feel like it's once you get north of 18, but really once you get north of 20, you have to start thinking about how you're like, you are eating, like how you're fueling during the race. And that was the toughest part for me, because the first one I ran on short notice, did it for charity, didn't train, just thought I'm an in shape dude, like I can do this. The first 20 miles was not like the last six, drastically different. drastically, drastically different. But that's what I learned over the next, you know, however many races, was finding what works for you in terms of I got to eat every 40 minutes or eat every 45 minutes, take one of those gels or cookies or whatever or something. And that's what made that last New York so special, is like I had trained right, I ate right, and then I got that feeling. Because the first time I crossed that New York City, first time I was in Central Park, I wanted to die. If someone from the stands had shot me, I would have felt better about where I was than trying to get to that finish line. But the last one, I got to soak in being in Central Park and getting to those stands where people are there. And man, there ain't nothing like that.
Yeah, I know we're not, this isn't the men's health hour, but that's one of the things I've enjoyed most kind of in getting into shape. And this is the best shape I've been in really ever. Even when I was smaller, I wasn't in like great shape. I was just smaller, mm-hmm. you know? So, but you do learn a lot about yourself and your body and what you consume and how your body reacts and things like that. You know, and I had stretches where I work out first thing in the morning. It was like, mm-hmm. okay, I need a pre-workout snack. Like I need some energy stores. And then, you know, it's, you just learn all these little things about yourself. So to hear you said about the marathon makes perfect sense. And you see people, you know, some people do a little candy bar, some people mm-hmm. do proteins. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's no joke, man. And I want to try it. I think I could do it. I want to try it. It's on my checklist. But look, before we move on, because he's not here, I want to shout out Kenny. I went to Instagram. He don't get the battle list about who's famous and who's not no more, because he's throwing first pitches.
Yeah.
I've never in my life been asked to throw the first pitch at any type of event, let alone a Major League Baseball game.
Yep.
And I do want to salute because he threw from the mound. So he didn't cheat it. It was a yep. little high. It did not look like a strike from the angle I seen. But old celebrity Kenny, salute to you for that, for throwing for the mound.
Yeah, you see Kenny down to the 4 day a week work schedule. He ain't here today. He out in enjoying being a celebrity.
Hey man, when you get them appearance fees just That's for it. Showing up, you know, you don't really got to come to the 9 to 5 as much anymore.
That's it. How hard did you laugh when Schefter's tweet popped up on your phone yesterday? Because I know you laughed.
As an old school cowboy hater. Oh man, I laughed. Oh man, I was excited, and it drug out so long. And look, as a Raider fan, I'm very familiar with the silliness a football team can put you through. The Raiders kind of really only had the only comparable trade to this when they decided not to trade to pay Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
And, you know, John Gruden's first order of business was to trade him for what ended up becoming Jonathan Abrams and one of them becoming Josh Jacobs, who they decided not to pay. So it was all for naught. So, no, I laughed really hard, and it seems to be exactly as it looks, just a petty stare down, the unwillingness to pay one of the best players in football at the position that matters, pretty second most, you know. And again, like, I get it. There's cap stuff. There's reasons, and you can try to sell this trade to me, but you don't let that walk out your building at 26 and you're only separated by X amount of dollars. This should have been done. You sign him. You give him his contract in March and you move on and you draft how you want. And the silliness of this all is you take it now after the draft, right before the season. So you get nothing that helps you for this season. You get you the next two drafts. You don't know where they're going to be.
Yeah.
At least in March, you can say, OK, we traded him for the 9th pick this year and a player we can actually use. No, you punted one of the best defensive ends in football just to do it
mm-hmm.
and to be petty. And then you send your owner out there. No, not you send your owner. He walks himself out there. Obviously he runs things, doesn't know who he's talking about, stands on it all. And he's just like, you know, what is this all about? It just screams a measuring contest mm-hmm. that this guy had to win. And it just makes you as a fan, cause I've been there with the Raiders, makes you go, well, if we're just in his hands, like, what is the point of what we're doing?
Did you watch the doc?
No, and I keep hearing it's great, and so I need to watch it soon.
It is. It's good. It's good. So full disclosure, I love that Cowboys team. Like, that Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, like, I loved that Cowboys team. I was a Cowboys fan up until 2016, and it's an enjoyable watch. I think it's an enjoyable watch as a football fan. It'll definitely be an enjoyable watch as a Cowboy fan. And I honestly think it's an enjoyable watch as a Cowboy hater too. What we keep hypothesizing is Jerry watched it. That's what we think is Jerry watched it, and he saw how defiant he was back in 1989 when he bought that team and fired Tom Landry and traded for Herschel Walker, who he brought up at his 46-minute press conference yesterday. He saw how he caved to Emmett Smith and thought back to how he caved to Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott and said, I'm not doing this again. And that's what you talk about, the measuring contest. Like, all right, yeah, no, nah, I'm gonna win this one.
There's a part of me that tries to understand. It feels like if I was in those shoes, how would I handle this? If I own this team for X amount of years and I've had this great measure of success. Now, as a hater, I laugh and say, yo, that was like five presidents ago. We don't even rank that no more. Like, we don't even care. But if you're Jerry, you go, yo, I know what I'm doing. I proved it. And we've been good to okay in between as well. Like, I get the ego of I still want to run it. I still want to be a part of this. Like, I don't have this car just to sit in the garage. Mm-hmm. I'm going to drive this car every Sunday. But I do think there comes a time, and there's also part of what you do as the owner, the boss, the whatever, is delegate some of these duties and putting your son in charge of it and really just leaving yourself in charge of it and not changing your ways in any way. It's only come to damage this team and this franchise. Again, you can rest on your laurels of we own the most expensive building in this country. Mm-hmm. We're the most valuable team and the most valuable league in the world, if you feel that way. And I don't care, but it's going to hurt their team in the meantime. And it has. And it's not like they draft out this world to fill the need to, you know, we can just rebuild every other year. We can just do it that way. You know, this is what they're banking on. They've continued to let their stars walk. You know, now you start looking at 88 on the field and wondering where he's going. You start looking at 4 and wondering where he's going. Mm-hmm. And wondering what's next with this franchise. Just a hilarious saga if you don't love the Cowboys, and a frustrating one if you do.
What do you think this does for Green Bay, though?
Oh, that was already a good team. I mean, I think it all rests on Jordan Love, and is he in that tier of quarterback where he is now a megastar quarterback and can win you games? Or is he that tier that he seemed to be in last year, obviously dealing with some injuries, where not necessarily a game manager, but he wasn't going to push you across the finish line. He wasn't going to be what puts you over the top. But, yeah, you add that to that defense. This is a team in a tough division that already looked good. You got the champions in that conference, obviously, as well. It's a competitive conference. But I like the Packers. I like what they do. They have a real home field advantage. And you get one of the premier players in the league to only bolster that. Now, I have read a bunch of stuff that basically said, yo, their cap is screwed for the next couple of years. But the cap has always been a mirage.
Right.
You always can work your way around that. It almost doesn't matter. If they're going for broke, that's what you want to see from that team, if it's the team you're rooting for. I'm excited to see them. I like the Packers. I thought they had a chance to make a run last year. I actually really like Jordan Love. If he maintains some semblance of stability, I think they could be really, really good this year.
Yeah, I'm with you. Obviously, the Micah Parsons trade from the Cowboys to the Packers is the biggest story in sports. But there's a couple other things I want to talk to you about. This question is based on something I was reading this morning, and I don't know. There is no one in my phone who is more qualified to answer this question than you. Uh-oh. And I believe to this day you have done the best interview I've ever heard with this individual. I need you to tell me who Kyrie Irving is.
Where does this come from? Like, what
I was reading about his farming. I was reading about that whole thing that he's doing with the farm. And, you know, I spoke a lot about Kyrie. We spoke a lot about Kyrie this year and how there were moments watching him, you know, pre-Luka trade, post-Luka trade. He looked so happy. Like, he just looked happy and, like, you know, like mature, like things that you think about when you're like, he just looked unbothered by everything. And I saw that, and I saw that version of Kyrie, and I'm reading about him farming, and there's that unbelievable clip from the Kings game where he tears his ACL. He's got tears streaming down his face, And he says, thank you, God. He shoots that free throw and his season ends. And it's like, yo, who is this guy?
I got a message. I'm looking at my phone right now. I got a message at 2 o'clock today. And it's a picture of Kyrie. And it says, I don't know who else to ask, but do you know why he's in Bed-Stuy right now? Apparently Kyrie's in Brooklyn just being Kyrie. To answer the question, I think he's a man that's like extremely sure of himself and just comfortable in his identity, confident in who he is. And what that identity often is he's just a curious mind. Like he's just a mind who wants to see the world and see as many experiences and learn as many things as he can. Now, does it mean he's always right? No. Does it mean he's, you know, he makes mistakes? Yeah. But he's a guy who is the world at the palm of his hands. He's earned it. He's worked really hard for it. He's mastered what has been his passion his whole life. And now he's just deciding all of the other things he wants to do with his life. He's building a family. He's just enjoying himself. And now he's got this weird gap year where he's not going to be doing the thing he loves so much. And it sounds like he's going to take his time to get right, too. He got paid, which obviously helps and is part of the reality of this as well. But my thing with Kyrie is I think he's one of the more misunderstood guys. You know, he got kind of vilified for some silly stuff, some worthy stuff. But in my experiences him at all times, nothing but great, nothing but kind. You know, he came back for a game against Dallas, I believe, or Utah, but he got a big tip dunk. It was one of the best highlights of his Nets tenure. And I ran into him after the game, like in the tunnel. I wasn't trying to bother him, and I grabbed him. I said, yo, you dunk now? Like, what is he? He's like, man, you know, he was excited, and I had my daughter with me. And he took like 2-3 minutes to just talk to my daughter, just like, yo, you go, damn, your daughter's hella old. And, you know, talking to her and her boyfriend, just, you know, being polite, just being a cool person. And that's the guy he's always been. When I had him on that episode you're talking about, he came to me after a game. He's like, yo, I want to do a show with you. It's like, what? You know, you knew me. And he's like, no, I want to do it. Like, just me and you. Like, you know, Kevin could be there, but he had to be. Like, just me and you. I'm like, yo, we can do it tomorrow. Like, what do you mean? And so a story I was just telling him on stream the other day was we actually had planned to do that show game one of the Boston series. I think that's 2023, maybe. I forget. I flubbed the time. No, it's 22. That's a series that got swept in. It was like essentially the end of that tenure. So it was like, yo, I'm going to come to Boston. Let's shoot it at the game one. He's like, cool. We'll do it in the hotel. Bring camera crew, da-da-da-da. He was all into it. I was like, great. Now, if you remember that game, they lost on a buzzer beater. Kyrie had like 36 points, had a great first three quarters, a kind of iffy fourth quarter, and it ends on this wild scramble play, and Jason Tatum gets a pass, he spins, makes the lead at the buzzer. Crazy. I'm sitting there with Kyrie's friend, and like we walk out the arena just like in shambles. I can't believe what just happened. Mind you, in the third quarter, we're yelling, and she's like, yo, we're going to win the title. Yo, this podcast is going to be crazy. We go to a team dinner afterwards. We're all kind of soaking around. And Kai, like, you know, I wasn't going to bother him. We're not going to shoot this show tonight. Like, we're not shooting after this. He comes with me, puts his hand on my shoulder, says, yo, we can't shoot that show tonight. But I got you, I promise. I was like, all right. And he was just like, the fact that he was even felt the need to let me know, it was just like, you know, why is that you're concerned right now? But he's just always been a polite guy, super genuine, super generous to everybody around. And it's not just me telling those stories too. Everybody around that I've seen interact with him the same way. So I'm happy to watch him kind of wander this world. My joke used to be, yo, Kai's going to disappear, grow a beard, and we'll never see him again.
For real.
But I think it's going to be the opposite. He's going to be around, but we don't know who he's going to pop up in. You know, he's farming now. Who knows what he's doing next? And, you know, I like to see him in his place. He seems to be really at peace.
It's
going to
be former basketball player Kyrie Irving built like the world's most sustainable energy farm house or something, like,
right?
Like, what he did what? Yeah, yeah. And shoes. All right, look, like, cool.
And look, when his son comes around, when his son starts hooping,
no,
please be on the lookout. His daughters too, they gonna be some problems, boy.
We have this conversation. Kyrie to me is, I don't know if he's the most underrated player the game has seen in recent memory, or the most underappreciated player the game has seen in recent memory, because he's nasty.
So the modern fan, and I'm not like super anti-analytics, but I think at some point we kind of burn through. I'm anti-narrative. That's why I call my show No Narratives. So we turned it into, oh, he's never been a number one option, and oh, he has had these bad playoff series and all these things. And it's like, cool, if we're comparing trophy cases and resumes and all that, great. And we do that, and we should. But if we're comparing like what happens on the court and the guy, what he can do, the capabilities they have, he's up there. And, you know, I joked on that episode you're talking about, like, yo, do you have a weakness? The weakness me and Kevin came up with was, you know, there's no way you can do a left-handed hook shot. Well, 2 years later, he hits one from 15 mm-hmm. feet for the game on Jokic. So it's like, yo, I remember hitting him like, all right. Like, because that's what his answer was, like, no, I can make a left-handed hook shot. I practiced that. Like, man, shut up. And then he makes one. So it's like, as far as the skills of the game, oh, man, like, I've talked to guys around the league and like almost one-to-one to a man. It's like, oh, no, he's better than Steph. And people get mad when you say that. But like, I think what they're saying is his ability is out of this world. My joke is he had to be 6'2" because it would be unfair if he was even 2 inches taller. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, God made him small to keep it fair. He's ridiculous. He's absurd. I do think he's one of those underrated guys now. I think we're starting to do that to Allen Iverson, who I've always loved, and we came up in that era of watching him just be incredible. And it's just like, we will appreciate Kyrie more down the line when we don't have him anymore to watch him do what he does.
You're out there. I wholeheartedly agree with that. You're out there in New York. Did you hear Dawn talking about the New York Knicks job?
Yeah, and I don't know how real that was. She did meet with them, which is what she confirmed and said she would have took the job. I thought it was fascinating. I think Dawn is one of the better basketball minds we have. I interviewed Dawn before, and we had, like, this moment beforehand. We're all in the green room, and it's, like, this Nike event. So it's, like, me, Dawn, and some other people, Paige Beckers, who was incredible, and Chet Holmgren came as well, and that's the homie. But Dawn, being the pro and the coach she is, she was early. I was early because I was there. But as far as like the guest, she was the last guest on the show. She was the first one to show up in the green room. So it's just me and Don in this green room for 20 minutes. Could not be more charming. Could not be nicer. You know, we were talking Eagles football because she was getting ready for that. She's a big Philly kid. And I had asked her, would she coach pros? And she really felt like, you know, mentoring kids, young women, that was her role. That was what she loved the most. So it was interesting to see her, you know, I don't think you can turn down the Knicks job. I don't think there's any world where you can do that. She can always go back to South Carolina. She can always go back to college and just continue to do what she's doing now. I'm curious if she does jump to the pros, if she wants to. She's obviously built a great program and continues to, and watches all her babies from South Carolina just run the league, run roughshod over the league right now. But I love Dawn Staley. You can't tell me a bad thing about her. And I think, you know, one of the more respected names and faces in basketball, men and women as well, would have been very interesting to see her get a shot in the NBA.
I think it's always dicey when you're a college coach and you talk about interviewing for other jobs. And she went as far as to say, I would have taken that job. That puts her university in a tough position. It puts her kids in a tough position. Because if they fall short, she's going to catch smoke for it. Or if, like, we were talking about this a few minutes ago, like, if the team falls short in any sort of way for whatever reason, there could be 50 reasons why it happens. Or is Dawn's days, are her eyes on the NBA? Like, is she focused on South Carolina? This is the second NBA job she's interviewed for. Maybe she's built the dynasty and she's ready to go. Because Dawn has absolutely done to South Carolina what Pat did to Tennessee and what Geno did to UConn. Like, she has made them one of those names. And that is very, very rarefied air. But that rarefied air comes with the responsibility that the other coaches in college basketball don't have.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we've seen it a little bit with Geno. There's been talks of trying to get him to the pros. And, you know, we've seen it at UConn men's with Hurley. Mm-hmm. And people wondering, oh, if he didn't take the Lakers job, oh, was he focused? And, you know, he's a bit of a madman. So I think we see him focused. But, you know, I think Dawn has so much respect amongst that program and amongst what she's built. And again, like, she has such a thumbprint on the current product in the W. You know, yeah. Asia Wilson is her baby. Aaliyah Boston is her baby. And, like, she pushed them into the league in a way that, and there's more, like, don't let me shortchange them. But, you know, these are the players she's pushed out there. I think people will kind of salute and understand what decisions she had to make. And at the end of the day, you know, didn't have to be made. And she can focus on what she's doing. Plus, she keeps winning. She keeps winning, and as long as she keeps winning, we're not going to hear those problems. She's going to be in the Final Four, you know, soon. And, you know, if they don't get the Natty, they're going to turn right back around and have another great recruitment class. Everybody trusts their daughters and their players with Dawn Staley. So I think it's true. Like, there will be some of that, but I think for the most part, the respect level that she garners will push through all of that.
My man, I appreciate you so much. Have a great Labor Day weekend. Get out there and enjoy that 60, 65 degrees, whatever you got out there in New York City. Get out there and enjoy that.
I'm looking for whoever grilling out here, man. Before we go, are you a hot dog guy, a hamburger guy? What are you eating at the barbecue?
Oh, sweetie, no. I'm going to put some ribs for about eight hours. Yeah, I'm going to put some ribs out there, and then we got a couple of fillets that'll go. And, like, nah, I'm a, even if it's just for me and the, like, it's a small group, like, yeah, I'm going to look for the excuse to cook.
I'm not going to lie. I'm one of them new age, man. I don't do too much grilling. I love a hot dog, a glizzy, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I like some barbecue chicken.
See, I like to smoke more than grill. Like, let me put that joint on there for 6-7 hours. Yeah. Let my app tell me when to go get it, and then just work on the few tricks that I've learned with the sauce and all that stuff. I'll do that.
You next level. I'm showing up at the homies' situation and picking at their food. That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm that guy. Sorry, guys.
That's a good look.
My guy, good to see you.
Appreciate you, bro. Likewise. That's the man, Eddie Gonzalez, man. All vibes when Eddie joins us on Fridays. We'll come back. Man, let's just get back to the NFL. I do want to talk Kings today, though, by the way. I have a very specific Kings conversation I want to have. And it seems stupid. I know any Kings conversation right now seems stupid, but it's about 2027. So that's all ahead. Phone lines are open for you. Be the co-host the rest of the day, man. We got an hour and some change left. Hit the Elk Grove Kia talk line, 916-909-1320. It's Dealing with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, man, let's hit these phone lines. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Our man, TC. TC, what's good, baby?
Man, what's up with my boy, D-Lo, man? Jesse in the back, my two brothers. I'm still on it, man. I know KC off.
It's all good, baby. We here. We appreciate you, man. What's good?
Hey, listen. So, hey, I've been just listening and fishing around, right? And I try to come up with this trade proposal. What you guys think, if it was me, Scott Perry, I'm doing it in a heartbeat, bro. I just been fishing around, so I'm entertaining that Spurs trade again, right? Hey, it's us again. If I'm Scott Perry, but hey, it's not Monty McNair. So listen, I got hey, nobody's gonna want to hear this, but listen me out. I got Keegan, both 2031 first round picks, the Spurs pick and the Minnesota pick, going to San Antonio for Castle and Jeremy Sohan.
No. TC. No,
talk,
man.
To me, D-Lo.
No, TC. No. What? No. I don't even know what else to do with that. That was a lot. I thought you was going to say for Vic. Like, what? TC, I love you. Yeah. Let's go back to the drawing board that you said you was fishing. Throw that one back. Put some bait on, throw the line back out there, and let's see what we can come up with.
This did make me laugh, though. Hey, it's us again.
Now, that was funny. Yeah. No. just all sorts of no's on that trade proposal. But again, TC says he's fishing. Throw the line back out there, see what we can catch. We'll talk more Kings basketball coming up here in just a couple of minutes. I don't even know what that trade accomplishes. You got back another guard, and you lost
two of them.
And you lost Keegan.
Yeah, you're without a four now. Isaac Jones, your time is now.
I think TC is a little too excited for the 3-day weekend. That's all it is. He's gonna work on another one, man, and come back. That's a tough one. Sacramento Kings, first franchise to march a 5-guard lineup out there. Lord, it literally solved no problems. All of the problems Sacramento Kings have, didn't solve any of them. We'll talk more about the Kings coming up about 3:15 or so. Actually, we'll talk Kings to take home the show in the final hour. Obviously, the biggest story in sports is the trade with Michael Parsons yesterday. And we're now within 1 week. We're 6 days away from the start of the NFL season. The Cowboys and the Eagles will kick things off on Thursday night. And I thought leading into these final 7 days, I thought there were a handful of unanswered questions. There were none bigger than what would happen between Michael Parsons and the Cowboys. Obviously, that's over. That is not a question anymore. That has its resolution. Now, there are a lot of questions that you can ask throughout the season. But questions leading into Thursday, asked and answered. Michael Parsons is a Green Bay Packer, and the Dallas Cowboys are going to try to find a different way to win football games. Kenny Clark, good football player. You got draft picks. Jerry seems to love the trade. Didn't have to spend money. You got Brian Schottenheimer, a first-time head coach. Dak Prescott came up earlier. We were talking with Drew Down. Drew Down called, and we were talking about, the mistake, it all starts with the Dak Prescott contract and what a mistake that was. And 100% right. Dak's season by season numbers are pretty crazy. I mean, and it doesn't matter the category. You go back to his rookie year. The first year he played, mind you, he was 23 years old that year. 16 games, 16 games, 16 games, 16 games. Then, 5 games. We remember that well. 16 games, 12 games, 17 games, 8 games last year. Okay, so we got that all laid out. Then you have the win-loss column. Dak's career, 9-year career, 13-3, 9-7, 10-6, 8-8. 2-3, 11-5, 8-4. By the way, that 2-3, remember how bad that Cowboys team was that year? 11-5, 8-4, 12-5. He finished 3-5 in the 8 games he played last year. If I drop out the 5, I'm going to drop out the 5 games, the 12 games, and the 8 game season. Seasons. These are his passing yards: 3,600, 3,200, 3,800, 4,900, 4,400, 4,500. Again, that's eliminating 3 seasons from his career right there, in which he didn't play full seasons. The year he played 12 games, he threw for 2,800 yards. Dak is the epitome of a middle-tier quarterback.
Yeah, Kenny had to take a thing a couple years ago. He's Kirk Cousins.
But what throws this off, though, is the way his career started. Like, don't forget, Dak sent Tony Romo to retirement. Tony Romo gets hurt. Kellen Moore, I think, breaks his ankle. He was the backup quarterback. Dak Prescott steps in. He's incredible in the preseason. He winds up having to start the season. plagued. Again, that's a 13-3 football team his first year. They never go back to Tony Romo. Tony Romo, instead of doing the big Indianapolis Colts, Peyton Manning goodbye, going to the Denver Broncos, he retires, goes to CBS, and makes more money than he ever did as a football player. But his first 4 years as the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys are incredible. And does anybody remember what happened after that fourth year, prior to Dak having that horrific injury? I know you do, because it's as old as 1989, baby. He got in a contract dispute with Jerry. Jerry wasn't going to pay him going into that final year. And then he saw how bad that Cowboys team was without Dak Prescott and had to pay him. They were 2-3 because of Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott in those five games had thrown 9 touchdowns and almost 1,900 yards. It was, if usage rate was a football stat, Dak would have had the highest usage rate in history. And then they had to pay him. And then they paid him again. And so the first 4 years of Dak Prescott's career throws things off so much, but along the way, and in that 2020 year, they're able to get guys like CeeDee Lamb. They're able to get guys like Micah. That's Micah Parsons' draft. Then you're able to get guys like CeeDee Lamb. You're able to get ball players. You surrounded him with high-level talent. And while it got you wins, like regular season victories, it didn't get you to your ultimate destination. And if you listen to Jerry Jones for 5 minutes, if you listen to Jerry Jones for 30 seconds, the only thing he cares about is winning a Super Bowl. Which is why I think I'm slightly more intrigued than everybody else by what he did yesterday. His goal is to win a Super Bowl. Nothing else. Not win football games. He's been winning football games. He's been winning football games with Mike McCarthy. He's been winning football games with Micah Parsons. He said, nope, not anymore. We're going to do this different. All right, man. It's a bold strategy to take, though. It's a bold strategy to go, not only am I going to get rid of my best defensive player, I'm going to get rid of one of the best defensive players in the game. And you pay $60 million, even though you didn't have to, you do that to a top-tier quarterback. Dak Prescott is not, by any measure of success, a top-tier quarterback. But Kyle Madsen was talking about that article that The Athletic put together about how at some point, you know, with quarterback contracts increasing the way that they are, at some point you're going to hit just this outrageous average annual value number towards a quarterback, and it's not going to make business sense anymore. And Dak Prescott is now the poster child for what happens when a quarterback reaches the end of their rookie deal. Nothing about Dak Prescott's first 4 years led you to believe he couldn't be one of the top quarterbacks in the league. Everything that happened after that is what got messy. And that's the important, like, C.J. Stroud needs a season. Jaden McDaniels, all these young quarterbacks that we talk about. You know, there's this funny conversation about how NFL teams have to win because they have to land a great quarterback and win while they're young. Win while they're in their rookie deal. Win before they have to be paid. The conversation about quarterback contracts being a detriment to a football team has been started. It's been started. It's been had.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.